All right, on this episode of Bouts Talking Bouts, very excited to be chatting with an individual who's set to compete at BYB 19, which goes down on August the 10th. And we've got, you know, quite the heavyweight collision going on in the Mighty Trigon. Definitely looks like a high-octane fight on paper as Levi Costa enters BYB Extreme's Mighty Trigon to test skills against Josh Burns. And great having Josh on the show again. How are you doing there, man? You having a solid day so far?
Yeah, brother, doing good, man. Appreciate you having me.
Yeah, for sure. Always good getting to talk to you, and I would think this would be a good time to catch you, just with you readying to return to the Trigon. Like, when did this bout offer kind of come your way? Like, when did, I guess, the discourse kind of initially get going for returning to the Trigon on August 10th there?
I've been in negotiations with BKFC, BYB, Gamebred, and we're just trying to figure what's best for the team, and to be honest with you, we felt the offer that BYB offered us was the most, efficient for us as a team. And we've known about this, we didn't know our opponent, but we knew that we were going to be getting back in the ring for about 3 months now. And, we obviously we were informed that it was Levi, 5-6 weeks ago. So we've been preparing for him, and so that's pretty much the story on how we're going back to BYB and the duration of time that we knew that we're coming back here.
Yeah, and it's interesting. Like, I mean, it's great that you're kind of talking about it in like a group kind of sense, but like, what specifically do you mean in terms of like best for the team? Like, what factors were, I guess, at play here that made it, a comprehensive, like, well-rounded effort for everybody around you? And I guess, yeah, specifically, like, what does that mean there? I mean, I love that you're kind of thinking in that kind of way, but like, what specifically does that kind of represent, I guess?
Well, it represents just, the bottom line is, I'm 45, so I'm already setting different boundaries as far as for fighting, because most guys are done at 45, and we really feel like we're still, in the top tier. We are on a slide, and the reality is, for BYB, I was 2-1 in the BKFC, knocked out 2 top 5 opponents. I was next to the title fight, and then ran into some federal issues on my personal end, which ended up either going to have me sit in BKFC for a year on the shelf until it got squared away, or I could jump over to BYB. And BYB offered me a fight with Mark Godbeer to get me over there to begin with. And Dave Feldman was a good dude. He was just like, we've known each other quite a long time, and he just wanted to see me be able to progress in my career, so he was willing to let me go to BYB and pursue that. Obviously, that fell apart, and to be honest with you, with all the personal issues and things going on in my life, a fighter, fighting is 90% mental and 10% physical. I mean, you got to be in shape regardless. So that's a, foregone conclusion. But mental, and your mental health and mental clarity is truly what's going to set you apart. And to be honest with you, anyone that's watched my last 2 fights with BYB would say the same thing. One, Burns came in fat. Burns came in out of shape, and it wasn't the regular Burns. Now, granted, when I hit the guys, sure, they ran, but I didn't have the conditioning to go after them. I like Tony Lopez. I did bust my hand in the first round with him. So, obviously, that kind of set the pace for me just to try to make it out and, catch him with something. But he's a veteran of over 100 fights, so that wasn't really going to happen. Hindsight's 20/20, so looking at it. But the next fight with DJ Lenderman, the reality is I gave him no respect. I still think that he's a B-level type guy. And I didn't come in shape. I came in at 295 pounds. Obviously DJ was very adamant on me being 265 because he's not dumb. He's a veteran of the sport, knew that it was going to suck me dry. And I had to drop 20 pounds a day of weigh-ins. And clearly I was fat. I was clearly out of shape. And every time I hit DJ, he ran. He ran like a little girl. No disrespect to women, but he ran. And he turned his back and run from me in that Trigon, which is a very small area. But when you're exhausted and that fat and out of shape like I was, I didn't have the energy to chase him. So I had to walk him back down. And, that pretty much set the tone for whether, it's the question of, is Burns done or do we continue? And finally got all my personal issues squared away here. I took a boxing bout, which I probably shouldn't have done, but I did because it was against someone I disliked, and clearly didn't go my way. I'm not really a boxer, but regardless, know, this is hats off to Dylan Klepper. He cut me, got me. And at that point, we knew that's kind of in a fighter's life, you know, you jump to a realization like, all right, man, is this what you want, or are you done? I mean, I've done a lot in my career and, you know, experienced a lot. Am I happy where I'm at? And the reality was I wasn't. And I was disappointed with the way they stopped the fight with Dylan Klepper. Anyone that's ever watched me fight knows I wasn't out. I wasn't hurt. I went to take a knee because, hey, I had to clear my head. The guy hit hard, and the first time clipped me. Second time I went to take a knee, and they stopped the fight. So that eats at me internally. And basically from that point forward, I just decided mentally, I was just like, you know what, I'm done doing what I've been doing. And I'm either I got shit or get off the pot. So in other words, I need to get serious. And I never took one day off since the Dylan fight. I stayed on it. Most people know that I walk around about 300 pounds. And right now I'm walking around about 280, waking up at 280. By the end of the day, I'm about 275. So we're only 10 pounds off the fight limit, and we got about a month before the fight. So I would just say refocused, and we went back to the old school ways, the ways of when I was 8-1 and, you know, bare knuckle, and I was over in the UK knocking people out. So we went back to that training style, focused on it, and just never took the foot off the gas. And I really feel it's going to show, you know, in the fight, because I think that I think Levi is a tough guy. He's a natural heavyweight. He's definitely, you know, he wants the fight in the pocket, and if you pressure him, he's going to fight, and he likes the pressure as well. So it's definitely a good fight for us. And I think this is going to open a lot of people's eyes and go, okay, all right, maybe Burns isn't done. You know what I'm saying?
And it just feels like such an interesting point where you're at, because you're talking about having been in there with, you know, the guys who have been, you know, the entirety of the BYB heavyweight title lineage so far, just fighting guys like Tony Lopez and DJ Linderman. And like we're talking about, while those, you know, were defeats, it seemed like you got in there and, you know, kind of felt like how the fight was. Like, it didn't seem like, from what you were talking per your account, that Linderman really brought anything to the situation that like dissuaded you and what you were doing, or represented like, I guess, a meaningful level of damage. So I guess now that you're in a more motivated, positive kind of headspace, it would seem like there's an interesting opportunity for you to be had here in terms of like getting a trajectory back to, you know, fighting those kind of names and everything. Is that kind of how you're looking at it as well?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, at the end of the day, DJ knows, I know, you know, Tony Lopez knows. Tony's my boy, you know, and I would probably have a hard time fighting Tony. I have a very hard time fighting my buddies. And I consider Tony a good friend, just like Eric Prendo, when I fought Eric Prendo. But we fought for Bellator, it was our first fight for Bellator, and we got fight of the night, you know. But the reality is, you know, one, I didn't take DJ serious. And, you know, he deserves respect, you know, because he's a veteran, he's been around, he's got a good record, and he's a tough guy. But the reality is, 9 out of 10 times I beat him. And when I was fighting him fat and out of shape, every time I touched him, he curled up like a little bitch in a turtle position, or he would turn and run. And he used the opportunity because in a fight, you talk to each other, and you say little snide things. And he caught me with a little hook or a jab that I didn't see. And I told him, I said, oh, that's good, I didn't see that. And he literally jumps back, looks at that referee, and is like, he can't see. And that Sam guy, the referee, he's a boxing ref. He doesn't really like bare knuckle, and he lets people know it. And he didn't know what to do. And then Sam jumps in, okay, fight's over. And I'm looking at him going, the fuck, are you serious right now? Like, you can watch the whole, I mean, anybody that pulls up can look at it. It was pretty shady. A lot of people didn't know what happened. And, but DJ saw his way out. You know, he saw an easy way to get out. And Sam and a referee that basically doesn't even like bare knuckle boxing, but he does because he has to. He gets assigned by the state. So, you know, at the end of the day, it is what it is. I lost, he won. But I promise you this, after this fight with Levi, it's going to turn a lot of heads. A lot of people are going to, you know, they're going to look at Josh Bryan. Now, mind you, I'm the only guy that left BKFC at 2-1, knocked out 2 top 5 contenders. When I left, I was depressed, disappointed, I had personal issues. Anyone that could see my physical shape when I fought, I didn't show Trigon enough respect. But Mike Vasquez, the owner of BYBML, they showed me a lot of respect by bringing me back and giving me an opportunity. They saw more in me. And so now it's time to put up or shut up and actually put on a show and show the same respect that I showed for BKFC and BKB and everyone that I fought for.
Yeah, and it very much seems like you're in a perfect, you know, headspace to be able to achieve that. Because I think if anyone's followed your bare knuckle career through, you know, the aforementioned leagues like BKB and BKFC, as you mentioned, I mean, you've got a tremendous depth of skill. But, I mean, you've touched on your opponent a couple times, and it's a very interesting kind of dynamic because you seem very much aware of some of his better attributes and what he brings to the table. And, I mean, he does have the 11 pro MMA fights, but kind of interesting that he's debuting in bare knuckle here, because much as you seem like you have a good read on his attributes and seems like you're taking him seriously, like, do you ultimately think your depth of experience is going to be the big variable that's the difference maker in this one?
Well, you know, after, you know, he fought twice in BKFC, and I mean, he stopped Sanchez, Josh Sanchez, who I believe, you know, is a good guy, but just Sanchez is a C-level fighter. And he stopped him, and Sanchez jumped all over him right off the rip when they first fought in BKFC. That was his debut in bare knuckle. And Levi pretty much controlled it, but he did get caught. He got caught and woke him up. And then he fought Josh Copeland. And Copeland's not known for having power. Josh is just known for having great conditioning and just smothering you with activity. And Copeland, in the third round, just laid him out with an overhand right, and it just laid him out. And Levi decided not to get up. He could have got up. He was cognitive, conscious. He was on his back. You can see, I'm a fighter. We know, people that are not fighters can look at him. Oh, he's knocked down. But you can look at him, and you can see him. He's looking up at the sky. He's touching his head, contemplating in his head whether he wants to get up, and he didn't want it. So, in my opinion, if it comes down to who's got the more, who's more of the dog, there's no doubt. I don't think there's any heavyweight that's got more dog in them than myself. So I think that if it comes down to who's got more dog, I'm going to fucking outdog him. But I also don't think he's ever faced anyone with my power, especially not in bare knuckle. And bare knuckle, he absolutely has never been hit by somebody like me. And when that happens, it's gonna be a gut check. It's going to be that dog, whether he wants to get in there, if he wants to keep going and keep, you know, risking physical injury, you know, going against me. So he is a southpaw, which a lot of fighters dislike. But when I watched him fight in BKFC, he doesn't utilize the southpaw in a productive manner, in my opinion. And I just think it's going to be a good night for us.
Yeah, I think I phrased it bare knuckle debut. I guess I meant more like BYB debut. Like, I would think that the Trigon especially lends itself to your kind of style. And I mean, that coupled with like the familiarity of actually having already been in there, I would think that maybe could, you know, lend itself to what you're doing. Or maybe I'm wrong in that characterization as well.
No, I mean, to be honest with you, I'm built to be an inside fighter. I like inside fighting. I'm a collegiate, a D1 collegiate wrestler too. And then, to be honest with you, I prefer to stand outside. Like, I can be in the clinch, or not in the clinch, but inside and fight. I'm just not a big clincher. I prefer to hit because I have power, so I like to hit. You know, so as far as the Trigon and like BKB and BYB and BKFC, all that stuff, you know, I the greatest example would be Tony Lopez, who's 6'5", 6'6". And he made the Trigon look like it was 30 by 30. Like, he stayed away from me, ran from me the entire fight intelligently. Not like ran like DJ, like a bitch. He actually boxed, and he stayed long. He stayed, like, if you know how to fight, you can make that small area huge if you know what you're doing. And so for me, maybe for him, a lot of people get on their head like, oh, it's a much smaller area, this and that. For me, it is what it is, you know. You're going to fight. It depends on your opponent, whether they can utilize the space. Now, yes, am I a pressure fighter? Absolutely. Does the Trigon help me? Absolutely, because I'm going to try to pressure. And if they don't know how to have footwork, if their footwork's crap, then yes, it's going to be very long tonight because there's not a lot of room to move. But if you're an experienced fighter like a Tony Lopez, you can move in that ring and make it look effortlessly and make it look like it's huge. DJ didn't know how to use the ring and ran from me. He physically would turtle up and watch the fight turtle up and he would jog away from me to the other side of the trigon, which isn't far, but for someone fat and out of shape like I was, it seemed like a mile. Now, so I don't know how Levi, I can't, you know, go into the, you know, into what his mental space is, but I'm sure, you know, just like anybody going in the trigon, you're like, oh, there's less space, you know, you really got to fight, it forces you to fight. But the reality is, yes, it forces you to fight if you don't know how to fight. If you don't know how to move your feet, move around, absolutely. So, I guess I don't know if that answers your question, but that's how I feel.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely get where you're coming from. Just such an interesting time. I mean, I guess I was kind of thinking of some of you were mentioning earlier in the conversation, like in talking about your walking around weight and stuff like that. It kind of got me thinking to like when you were initially supposed to step in there to the mighty Trigon and get in there for a super heavyweight title fight. Like, it seemed like that Police Gazette title and like the dialogue around that division in general kind of, you know, fell by the wayside a little bit. Is that something you'd like to see kind of get reprised and kind of picked up? Because I was kind of excited when I saw like the dual, you know, super heavyweight title fight scenario there when you were getting ready to, like I say, initially fight. So, I mean, I feel like you would enjoy something like that just in as far as like it could open multiple divisions up to you. Is that something that you would like to see kind of, you know, get reprised in the future, like discourse around that super heavyweight hardware, I guess?
Yeah, no, absolutely. The whole plan was, you know, and I'll just tell it on your show. It's the first time I've said it publicly, but it's common sense. A lot of these younger promotions and stuff, like, they've got to have a marketing, like, mindset. And, like, the BKFC, some might not like how they do it, but at least they're market-based. So, for me, if I were to be able to come in and at super heavyweight, knock someone out, and win the super heavyweight belt and the Police Gazette belt, because the super heavyweight belt is available through Scott Burton, the Police Gazette. They just haven't had anyone fight for it. Now, granted, it's hard to find quality fighters at the super heavyweight limit, but my goal would not be to stay at super heavyweight. Super heavyweight, by the way, for the Police Gazette is anything over 255 pounds. So anything over 265 pounds in the state is considered, at the commission level, is considered super heavyweight. So, realistically, you could have a guy fight at 265 and be fighting for the Police Gazette had super heavyweight belt. Now, my whole point was to market it as come in, win the super heavyweight belt, then turn around and be the super heavyweight champion and challenge the heavyweight champion, so you could be a champ, have two belts. And that's never been done. No one's ever in the history has held two Police Diamond belts at a singular time. So that was my position and what I wanted to do. The problem is they can't find enough quality super heavyweights out there that are willing to fight, one, fight bare knuckle, and two, fight me. So that seems to be an issue, even though, you know, my record doesn't look great and I've looked like crap my last two fights. Let's just be honest, I look fat and out of shape, but yet these guys are asking for ridiculous amounts of money. And if it's not ridiculous amounts of money, they just won't fight me. So if they made it very hard for Mel Valenzuela to actually find opponents at super heavyweight, so they just said, hey, let's just fight at heavyweight, and if the opportunity presents itself further down the road, then so be it, then we'll make it happen. So, but that was my whole point. My whole point was to absolutely get the super heavyweight Police PG belt and the BYP belt, and then challenge for the heavyweight. So it would be champ versus champ. It's just much more marketable. And to be honest with you, you know, I win the BYP belt. Let's put, you know, call spade a spade. At the end of the day, I was 2-1 the BKFC. I was next in line for the heavyweight title. The only reason I didn't get the title fight is because they knew they were going to have to shelf me for a year until my personal federal issues and all this crap went away. So with that being said, I was next in line at BKFC for the heavyweight championship. I was supposed to fight Joey. So at the end of the day, that's a fact. I win the BYD belt. Now we're sitting here with that dilemma going, just like back in the Pride and UFC days, going, hey, Randy Couture is the heavyweight champion. People are like, yeah, I don't know, though. Fedor Emelianenko, he's the Pride champion. And it's a debate. And there's legit debate that went on at that time. It'll be the same thing here. I'm the heavyweight champion of BYB. Well, whoever the BKFC champion is, I pose an honest argument, because they're going to be like, hey, Burns legit was 2-1 in BKFC, knocked out two top five contenders. got his shit back together at BYB. Now he's the champion over there. Who's the real champion? You see what I'm saying? So, I mean, that's why, you know, BKB and BYB, they did a little merger, a little agreement, gentlemen's agreement to work together. It would be great to see BKSC do the same thing. I doubt that that'll ever happen because I don't think the two promotions care for one another, but it'll honestly present that question going, hey, as long as me, Josh, as long as Burns is in shape and performing the way that I perform, I don't care who you are. That I'm telling you right now, like, people will say, eh, who's the real guy? Who would win? And right now, in my opinion, the two best in the BKFC heavyweight-wise would be AJ, Adam Arnold, and Mick Terrell. Those are the two best heavyweights. I already fought Mick Terrell once in the UK. Watch the fight on YouTube. You can make the call. Obviously, they stopped the fight because my nose got ripped, but it was a bullshit call. So, but Mick's a good friend of mine, and they're both two top talented guys. So the only guy I haven't fought would be AJ. So if AJ wins it, it would literally lead to, hey, those two should have fought. So just keep the bare knuckle industry, you know, interesting, especially at the heavyweight division. It could definitely make a debate.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting as you're talking about it, just like the, I guess, total state of, you know, bare knuckle heavyweight right now, because it is in a very interesting kind of state of flux, just with Alan Belcher having been stripped of his heavyweight title, and there's not like an official next task lined up for DJ Linderman. It would seem like maybe Rashad Coulter is someone they're kind of looking at there. So yeah, it's just an interesting time for the division. It seems in a way kind of wide open for someone to assert themselves as number one. Like maybe, like you said, you defer to someone like Arnold Adams as the number one, just kind of where things are at right now. But yeah, very interesting in the sense of there being like a lot of strong players, but it kind of being like almost like wide open a little bit for that top spot now.
No, absolutely. I mean, right now, if there was an opportunity and a time for people to solidify and cement their position in the heavyweight division, it'll be in this next year. It'll be in the next year because, you know, like you said, Alan Belcher, you know, there's a lot of things that behind the scenes of why Belcher's out. And a lot of people don't know this, that BKFC is finally doing what BYB does, and they're doing mandatory testing. So you can no longer be a competitor and not have the fear of being tested for PEDs. I don't care who you are, what you are, what you think. It's like the Barry Bonds situation. Barry Bonds in his prime was 195 pounds, 205 pounds, but yet, and when he's 40, he's 235 pounds, just shredded muscle. Well, look at Alan Belcher. Belcher in his prime for the UFC was 185 pounder, at best 200 pounds walking around. All of a sudden, now he's 235 at, you know, 7-8% body fat, shredded, and they make the notification, and this will come out, but I don't really give a shit if I'm giving out too early or not. Don't care. It's going to come out. People are going to realize that, oh, hey, guess what? Because he's down testing, doing random testing. Kind of funny, kind of fortuitous that all of a sudden Belcher's like, oh, okay, I'm going to go. I'm going to leave now. They keep my belt. I'm going to go do some boxing. Granted, boxing is better money. But the reality is, things are still, the playing field is going to be leveled because all these guys in the beginning sports, you know, there's a lot of, as they say, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. But at some point, they're going to regulate it, and it's now being regulated. So that's what I love about BYB is BYB, they do testing. They did testing, you know, from the second that I was there, you know, the random testing is there. So you can't be doing that shit. So, you know, Belcher, yeah, big, great fighter, everything. But, you know, I think we all, it's common sense. Look at the guy, 235 pounds. He's a small heavyweight. And I think AJ beat him, but clearly there was an agenda. I believe 100% there was an agenda for him to win. And even Belcher didn't want to keep going. AJ beat him. And then when AJ got knocked down because he'd be stupid, you know, or being a little bit lax, complacent, that count was a fucking 6-7 second count. It was over. Like, hang on a second, that's a world champion. You sped count the world champion's count, but the challenger you let get knocked down multiple times that you counted 10, 11, 12, like, get the hell out of here. So, you know, it is what it is. It's a business. I get it. But I truly believe that AJ is the top dog over there. I think Mick Terrell is next in line. And that's why I love BYP, because BYP, we've got just as much talent over here. We got, like you said, Rashad. I think that's how you say his name, Rashad. He looks really tough son of a gun. Eric Olson, I think that guy's on like a 3-fight win streak at heavyweight. He's destroying these monsters over in the UK for BYP. If you know, I'm not full of shit and I show up and I turn some heads, then people be like, all right, Burns is back. So, you know, we've got a deep division at BYP as well, and there's some quality guys. You know, obviously DJ holds the belt. DJ overall is a tough guy. He did lose to AJ, but he didn't lose to AJ because he got beat up. He just got cut, and the fight was over. So a lot could be said for that as well. So yeah, the heavyweight division, the whole landscape across all promotions, it is up in the air right now for someone to take a hold and take that dominant stance saying, hey, I am the best, and then, you know, the rest can follow. So I'm excited. I'm excited for this year, and excited for what can come for the, you know, for the remainder of this year. And I look to basically have a title fight by February of next year.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? Like, we've been referencing the BYB and BKB crossovers, and you fought for their belt on, you know, a couple of occasions. They're both lineal and interim. Like, you mentioned the Mick Terrell fight earlier, and it kind of reminded me of that. So who knows? Maybe you even end up running it with a guy like Dan Podmore for another BKB title crack. It seems like the options with this present, I guess, arrangement you have are kind of boundless, almost.
Yeah, no, I mean, well, and if you just, like, I love that you bring up Podmore. Dan's a good guy to me. He was never disrespectful to me. But, you know, when I fought for BKB, it was a little bit of the Wild West over there, and they made their own rules. You know, they're 18 counts, all this stuff. I knocked Daniel Podmore out. When we fought the first time, I knocked him out. He got a 21-second count. But, again, he's European, so he gets the favor. And he obviously jammed his thumb in my eye, which I literally went to an eye doctor yesterday to get my eye exam done for this fight. And there's still scarring on the back of my eye from that fight. And at the end of the day, the BKB, you know, they have people there that are not even medical professionals throwing in red flags, stopping the fight. Anyone, it's on YouTube. And I've said this on multiple interviews, and people that don't even like me will go and watch it. And I slumped him. I slumped him under the bottom rope. And he didn't get up for a 20, some say 22, I say 20, 21 count. It's an 18-second count. And I knocked him out. So yeah, absolutely. But if I fought him over it, absolutely. 100%, because I guarantee you I knock him out. But he lost the belt. So he lost the belt to some guy over there. So, but, you know, I will never fight for BKB again. We fight for the banner, under the banner of BYB. So BYB is who I fight for. Obviously, BKB has been in the past. I don't believe they do things professionally. BYB has brought their level up because they make them actually do blood work, do things like that, where BKB just doesn't. And they operate, they don't have a commission, they don't do any of that. BYB has to bring a commission with them to the UK to make these fighters provide blood work, do their medicals, do all this stuff. Stuff that I was told when I fought for BKB, which I provided, like, okay, mate, we got you. And come to find out that had never happened. So that definitely is a personal issue for me, that, you know, we're in a blood sport. You absolutely at least need to do blood work. And that was a personal issue for me with BKB, and I basically will never forgive them for that, because they, you know, they put my life in it, and, you know, in their hands, which was ridiculous. So hell, Tony Johnson's the guy I fought for the belt, and obviously was done, and we had a jab fest, and I got cut above my, I think, my left eye, and it was a deep cut, and they stopped it, so it really wasn't even a fight. But even Tony will never go back for them. So, you know, it is what it is. So at the end of the day, we'll fight for BYB, and our goal is to get that heavyweight strap. Obviously, I'd like to get the heavy, super heavyweight strap as well, to have two PG belts. But, you know, we don't know if that's in the cards or not, but right now we can only control what we control, and that means being in shape, being ready to rock and roll, and bring back the Josh of old, and make sure that I'm in supreme condition, and that I can actually, you know, be all gas, no brakes. And I really don't think there's many heavyweights out there that can handle my power, my speed, and my pressure for more than 6 minutes without dropping. So, and we're going to put that to the test with Levi, because he's a tough guy, and he's definitely shown that he's tough. So we're going to look for that push. We're going to look for that push and see if we can break them.
yeah, just so much going into this fight that I find exciting. And like we're talking about, so many seemingly exciting potential future opportunities as well. But I do want to be mindful of the rest of your schedule, Josh. I mean, I feel like there's always tons of questions I can ask you. I feel like you've got a great mind for the game. But I mean, understand you got other things to do today. So to that point, is there maybe any final parting thought you'd want to add as we're wrapping up here, man?
I appreciate all the support, you know, even the haters. I appreciate them as well, because without people loving and hating you, I would not have the job. So, you know, and I definitely am suggesting that people tune in, watch this fight. It is on a Thursday, so it's a little bit different, but we're fighting Thursday night down in Pembroke, I believe it is. It's basically outside of Miami. So I think you're going to see the Josh of old, and it's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun fight. And it's actually an action-packed card, because they just put another world title. There's four world titles on it. So when I'm not even, and that sounds really pompous, but I'm going to say it regardless, when Josh Burns is on a card and I'm not on the main poster, that's a badass card. You know, that's a badass card. So they got four world titles. I'm not even on the poster. So that means that that's a very deep card. So that's pretty awesome. So just like when I fought for Game Bread, you know, DC and I both ranked in the top five in the world for BK or for Bare Knuckle, and neither one of us were on the main poster for Game Bread. So that was a very deep, really good card. So it's the same thing for BYB. We're not on the poster. That means this is a very, very good card, and a lot of people are going to, you know, enjoy the card. So I say tune into it, and I think everybody's going to enjoy it.
Yeah, and like you were kind of saying before, shows the scale of how BYB Extreme keeps just like really like bringing things up, like really incrementally upping the level event to event, and very much excited to see that continuation on August 10th with BYB 19. And I mean, like you said, definitely a stacked card, but was very excited when I saw this Levi Costa announcement drop, and I appreciate you coming on the show and giving insights ahead of this fight, man. But you know, you enjoy the rest of your day, and looking forward to checking out the fight when it goes down. But just, yeah, wanted to say thanks for the time.
Well, I appreciate you, and you guys have a great day as well.
All right, on this episode of Bouks Talking Bouts, excited to be talking to an individual set to compete at BYB 19, and going to be a very intriguing event for sure as Josh Burns steps into that mighty trigon to take on Levy Costa, and great getting to have Levy on the show ahead of this August card. How's your day going there, man? You having a good day so far?
Everything all right, you know what I mean? I'm preparing myself to do my first train of the day, and I'm feeling great.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I can't wait to fight. You know what I mean? I feel great. I'm feeling great.
Well, it's awesome to hear, man. I guess I'm kind of curious, because I saw you had an April post where you were talking about how you were ready for war, and you were, you know, getting people to tag like BKFC in the comments to, you know, try to fight again. Like, it seemed like you were kind of in between fights a little bit. You did fight for, you know, BKFC a couple of times before. I guess, like, in saying that, like, when did conversations with BYB start kind of ramping up for you to fight for them?
I like the event BKFC, you know what I mean? But with you guys, it was better, because I feel like you treat the fights a little bit more with respect, you know what I mean? No matter who, you know what I mean? It's not because I always wait a lot for the guys giving me my next fight, you know what I mean? And as soon as I start the conversation with BYB, they gave me the multi-fight deal, you know what I mean? They gave me my next fight, my next opponent, like, quickly, you know what I mean? Then it's easy to keep in training to my... I have a schedule, you know what I mean? It's better like that.
Yeah, that must make such a difference, because, I mean, I imagine it would be stressful not knowing when, you know, the next assignment is. But I mean, then you start talking to this group where, you know, being able to stay active is very much a thing. So I could understand why that would be a big part of, you know, the negotiations and kind of wanting to become part of the company and everything. Like, it seems like BYB does a good job of that, just keeping people actively fighting and everything.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I already feeling the difference between the both organizations, you know what I mean?
Yeah, just even how some of the backstage interactions are, like how you interact with maybe some of the, you know, people internal to the different companies, like you're already noticing a certain difference. Like, what things are you noticing different beyond what we're kind of just talking about?
Can you repeat again the question, please?
Oh, I was just curious what some of the other differences you've been noticing are. Like, you talked about how BYB is, you know, allowing you to have more of like a defined kind of schedule, but are there other differences you've been noticing between the companies, I guess?
Yeah, like I said, you know what I mean? I feel you guys, the BYB treat the guys, the fighters with more. BKFC is a great event, you know what I mean? But I feel the BYB, the organization treats the fights with more respect, you know what I mean? Because we born to fight, you know what I mean? When we, like I said, when we have a schedule to follow, it's easier because we don't need to keep it. It's a hard training, you know what I mean? If you don't have a schedule, it's too hard to keep training all year, you know what I mean? You can hurt yourself. Like I said, the BIB gave me the multi-fight deal, you know what I mean? They, by the way, they gave me the date for my next fight. They opened it like 3 months ago, 2 months ago, you know what I mean? Then it's easy to you'll be ready to fight, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and it feels like you're getting in the company at a good time too. Like, it seems like they're really, you know, growing their heavyweight division, and you seem to be a good addition within that. Is that something you've been noticing too? Like, it seems like BYB has really been putting a lot into their heavyweight division as of late.
Oh yeah, I can't wait to fight, man. I can't wait. I'm feeling great. You don't know how much I train, you know what I mean? Because my last fight I lost, you know what I mean, on BKFC. But I don't know if you saw the fight. I was with Josh Copeland. I was winning the fight, and on the third round, on the last second, he clipped me one punch, you know what I mean, and he knocked out me. But now it's more than ready to fight again, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I guess that's kind of just, I get maybe a lesson to be learned in the sport, because I've talked to different fighters where that does seem to be the case in certain fights, whether it's, you know, a fight they're largely winning and they get hit with like a jab or something like that and it cuts them open, or they get hit with like one big shot like you're saying and then the fight ends. Have you noticed that with bare knuckle? Like, maybe, I guess the margin for error is that much smaller, because like you're talking about there, it's like you felt like you were winning the bulk of the fight, and I felt like some people, you know, did see that with the Copeland effort there. But yeah, I mean, it seems like just one mistake, one tiny opening can be the end of the fight. Was that your big takeaway from the last one? I mean, just trying to, I guess, you know, not overextend yourself and put you kind of in that spot, like trying to be perfect for the entirety of the fight as much as you can, I guess.
Oh yeah, Josh Copeland did good, you know what I mean? He took the right moment, but it was my mistake too, because on the 10 seconds left, that, you know what I mean? I was relaxed because I was in 10 seconds left, you know what I mean? Then Copeland come in, you know what I mean? He switched the stand, he touched my, he gave me two jabs on the stomach. Then I lowered my guard. Then he clipped with the overhand, you know what I mean? I learned a lot with that fight, you know what I mean? Because bare knuckle, like you said, you said, you know what I mean? It's and heavyweight, bare knuckle and heavyweight, you know what I mean? Any punch changes everything, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's interesting because I was noticing in doing my research on you that you had around 11 pro MMA fights before coming over into bare knuckle. And I've talked to certain fighters who've done the transition, and they talk about how the training is, you know, a fair bit easier on the body because they're not getting, you know, worn down from the grappling. And I mean, the kicks are obviously not in play, so there's a lot kind of, you know, taken out of the mix there. Have you been noticing that as well? Like, it's maybe in certain regards, maybe a bit, I mean, obviously any combat sport is going to be hard to train in, but have you noticed it's a bit easier, like without the wear and tear of the grappling and some other aspects of MMA training?
Yeah, the training is a little bit better because you train just for one situation, because it's only hands, but the training is still hard, you know what I mean? Because you need to keep your condition up, because it's not it's a boxing bare knuckle, but it's not boxing, you know what I mean? You need to go there on fury. You know what I mean? Then you need to keep your conditional up to survive five rounds. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it seems like you've added certain things to, you know, the bare knuckle training. Like, I saw a video of you punching a steel beam that was covered in rope a bit. Like, you were not like punching full force, obviously, but kind of like conditioning the hands a bit, it seemed like. Like, what are some things you do in a bare knuckle camp that maybe you weren't doing before, like preparing for MMA fights and stuff like that?
Okay. This kind of training I'm doing right now, I really changed all the weight I was training, you know what I mean? This guy from WEC Method helped me a lot. It's I think they are one step forward on to prepare the fights to bare knuckle, you know what I mean? That kind of training helped me a lot on the bones of my hands, you know what I mean? I'd be more accurate. I don't know if I'm saying correct, but you know what I mean? I feel great.
Yeah, and it seems like you've been keeping active in some of the other martial arts. Like, it seems like you've been posting still those jiu-jitsu videos, and I saw a wrestling video with Phil Davis around April on your Instagram there. Like, do you find that has some crossover into bare knuckle because they do the active, you know, clinch positions and you can kind of work within there? Like, does kind of staying active in some of the, you know, grappling from before, you know, pay off with the bare knuckle a little bit, or is it more of just you're, you know, passionate about those martial arts and want to keep, you know, practicing in them and everything?
First of all, I like to train everything, you know what I mean? But everything helps, you know what I mean? For example, the wrestling, I train with Phil almost every day, you know what I mean? Wrestling helped me with my foot movement, footwork, you know what I mean? Jiu-jitsu help me on my guard, my shoulders, keep my forearm stronger, you know what I mean? I like to train everything, you know what I mean? To keep my reflex up, you know what I mean? And that's it.
Yeah, cool to hear there's that, you know, crossover benefit and stuff like that too, though. But something I find interesting about this fight, I mean, you're stepping in for your third bare knuckle fight, as we were talking about before, but this being the BYB debut. And I think a lot of people talk about the mighty Trigon and just how tight the dimensions are and stuff like that. Like, what are your thoughts on getting ready to fight in the Trigon? Because like we were talking about before, it's like bare knuckle and, you know, the heavyweights in combat sports, it's like a finish can really pop up at any time, and I think some people think that's especially the case in the Trigon. Like, what are your thoughts on getting ready to, you know, kind of make the debut and fight in this newer kind of space there?
Yeah, the Trigon is it's no much space, you know what I mean? There you need to be ready to the war, you know what I mean? And we are heavyweight, you know what I mean? I'm looking for a knockout. I want to knock out him, you know what I mean? Then gonna be like, he can't move much, you know what I mean? I'm going for a knockout. And I think the trigon is the perfect size to that, to do that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly an opponent that's trying to oblige, and you would do the same. I mean, definitely someone who had established themselves as one of the more kind of standout KO artists in BKFC, and just a great run in general, like has fought for, you know, championships in BKB, like their lineal and interim titles, and Josh Burns now kind of looking to get his feet under him in BYB after having fought the, you know, past champion and also the present champion too. So I guess in saying all that, like, what are your thoughts on your opponent as far as like some of his better skills that you may have seen, and like what your thoughts are on his resume in the sport as well?
Josh Burns is a great fighter, you know what I mean? Dangerous one, you know what I mean? I have to pay attention on the close distance, on the clinch, and I have to pay attention on his overhand too, you know what I mean? Because he have a heavy hand. I have something to counter that, you know what I mean?
And it's interesting because, like I was saying, I mean, he's been in there with, like, the first champion and also the current heavyweight champion in his next fight. And, I mean, as much as they're adding people in the division, like, right now it sort of seems a little bit wide open. Like, maybe they'll do that Rashad Coulter versus DJ Linderman fight for the title next. But I feel like even the winner of this fight could really, you know, position themselves well in terms of, you know, getting title talks and getting, you know, discussed in that kind of situation. Like, obviously, you know, not overlooking this fight or this opponent, but do you kind of see that as well? Like, maybe if you get the kind of standout win you're looking for, maybe the title talks could pop up sooner than later?
Yeah, that's my goal, you know what I mean? But I like to think each fight, but that's my goal. I want the belt, but let's focus on Josh Burns first. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's gonna be a great fight. I mean, definitely I've enjoyed seeing both of you guys compete previously and was excited when I saw the fight announcement, and I appreciate you making time to, you know, give insights ahead of what's obviously a very intriguing heavyweight fight as we're talking about. But I want to be mindful of your time, Levy. I imagine you're a busy guy, so just in kind of saying that, is there any final parting thought you might want to add as we're kind of wrapping things up here, man?
Yeah, I just want to say thank you for everybody, you know what I mean? Thank you for BIB having me, you know what I mean? And I'm ready to do a great work. Okay, and thank you for the interview, bro.
Oh, I mean, thank you. I appreciate you making the time ahead of BYB 19. Definitely excited for this Josh Burns fight, and I'm very much fired up for August 10th. Definitely, you know, counting down those days until this card goes down, and excited to be there to check everything out. But until then, you have a good rest of your day, man. And yeah, just to reiterate, thanks for the time and coming on the show, man. All the best.
Okay, thank you very much, man. I hope to see you soon.